Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
All right, it's a month of strengthened faith, and we have our water baptismal sessions next month. So if you've not been baptized with water, meet PK, put your name. All right? And that would happen, actually, ideally, once you hear the gospel and you get born again, you should be baptized in water immediately. The issue is that some of you were not preached to near the sea. So we have to plan for it. Jesus said, be baptized with water, so be baptized with water. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Some say it doesn't matter. If Jesus said you should do it, it matters. Are you in this place?
Yes,
I know some people try to say water doesn't mean water. Or let's not go into that. Or let's go into that. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Because there are people who still, you know, there are two kinds. They are the ones that anything church say do. They are the ones that have gotten so smart. They are smarter than God. And so they say water baptism is not important. So let me just show you. First Corinthians 1 verse 10. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Just to show you. Can you help me with this? Thank you. So this is the ideal verse that is usually used to prove that we should not be baptized with water. So let's look at it. That's if you even know there's something like that, because someone here might be thinking, what are you saying? But just in case you think water baptism is for people who don't know God's word. Verse 10. It says, now I beseech you, are you in this place? Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Verse 11. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now, Paul is talking to the church, and he's saying that, you know, they are fighting in the church. So he's addressing them. Verse 12. Now this I say, that every one of you said, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. So here what's happening in the church is, this person will say, you know, I follow Paul. Jesus appeared to Paul in Damascus. Are you in this place? Someone will say, oh, you own is Paul. Me, I follow Apollos. Apollos can teach the word. Someone will say, your own is Apollos. Me, I follow Peter. Jesus said, upon this rock shall I. So you see, they were doing follow. I follow this person. Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
All right. So that means that if someone is quoting Paul, the guy who follows Peter will not pay attention. And someone is following Peter, the guy who follows Paul will not pay attention. So you see, it's just nonsense they were doing there. So it's like, let's say in the church in Nigeria, just an example, right? Someone can say, I attend this church. So I'm better than the person who attends that church. Do you understand that? So you see, it's not new. It's been happening since. So verse 12 again says, now this I said, every one of you said, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of who? So someone else say, I don't follow any man. I follow Christ. All right, verse 13. There are people like that. They don't go to church. People like that. It's, I don't believe in denomination. I follow Christ. But I always like to remind them that they are the denomination of people who don't believe in denomination. He said, that's what I can say. He said, I don't believe in denomination. So all of you that don't believe in denomination, you are a denomination. All right, verse 13. So Paul is addressing, I said, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? So he said, how can you compare me with Christ? That is scary. Right? That someone is comparing you with Christ. Oh my goodness. I think if that happens to you, you should immediately recant. Say, I have no business with this. Oh, my Lord. Look, that's what they're doing here.
Yes.
Are you in this place?
Yes.
That's what they're doing. So now Paul is clarifying. You know, there are people who get bored with Jesus. They rather you quote from the epistles. If you try to quote Jesus, it's not that revolutionary. Do you understand? It has to be epistles. Well, Paul here is saying, don't put him inside it. Do you understand? All right. It says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Why? Because when you were baptized, you were baptized in the name of Jesus, right?
Yes.
So he's saying, hey, were you baptized in my name? So how can you compare me with Christ? Verse 14. So I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus. So you see, he was going somewhere. Do you understand? He was trying to say, I didn't baptize anybody. Then he remembered, except Crispus and Gaius. So Paul baptized people in water. All right? So, lesson 14, it says, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. So he's making an argument. Remember, are you in this place? Follow the gist. He's trying to say, look, don't compare me with Jesus. I didn't even baptize any of you. Except Crispus and Gaius. Verse 15, lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. Do you understand what he's trying to say here? He said, look, when you are baptized in the name of Christ. And he was trying to say, I didn't baptize any of you. So nobody would say that when I was baptizing you, I baptized you in my own name. I actually baptized you in the name of Christ. But then he remembered Crispus and Gaius, so he had to add them there. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Verse 16. And I baptized also the household of, so he remembered another one. Has happened to you before. When you say, in my life, I've never hugged anybody. In my life. Except my younger sister. And my brother. So nobody can say when I was hugging them, I hit their head. How can I hit head when hugging? I've not hugged anybody? Well, I also hugged my team when we won football match. So that's what he's saying. Do you understand?
Yes.
All right, let's look at this. Okay. He said, and I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any. Do you understand? Now he's saying, in case I forget somebody now. All right? I don't remember if I baptized any other person. Verse 17. He says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. Cross of Christ should be made of none. So you can take this verse alone and say, oh, Christ did not send me to preach but to baptize. So we should not, or rather, Christ did not send me to baptize but to preach. So we should not baptize. You can take this, but that would be wrong. Because he was coming from somewhere. They were arguing, all right? That I belong to Paul, I belong to Christ, I belong to Peter, I belong to Apollos. So he was trying to prove that he has no hand in this thing. All right? So those that are saying, I belong to Christ or I belong to Paul, he's saying, look, don't compare me with Christ. Because when I baptized you, you were baptized in the name of Christ. I never baptized you in my own name. So if you're baptized in the name of Christ, that means Christ is bigger than I am. Do you understand? But then he says, okay, remember I baptized two people and a whole household. But my point in life, my purpose in life is not to baptize, it's to preach. Do you understand?
Yes.
But to prove that Christ was bigger than him, he used baptism. Because baptism is important. So when he says, Christ said not to baptize or to preach, trying to say, look, for example, I'm a pastor, I'm preaching. Right? Imagine my only job here was to stand. Who is born again? Come, I put you in water and you go. Is that a work? No. My focus is to preach. But baptism is important. Do you understand? All right, and he's talking about water baptism besides. So when you look at the apostles, they baptized with water. All right? So you cannot be smarter than every other person. Get baptized in water. John says, but what does it do? You see, it is joint foundation discipleship course. You'd learn that. But it is your separation from the world. Do you understand? It is your separation from the world. It is, baptism doesn't get you born again, all right? But it's a sign that you are born again, okay? So when you are dipped in water, the symbol, sign that you were buried with Christ and you, to a new life. And it is in sync with what John did to Jesus at that river Jordan. Because when he baptized Jesus and brought him out, then God said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. So the old man dies, put into water. A new man comes. This is my beloved son. Do you understand? All right. So let's do that. So I want to talk about something really fast. Go to Romans 8. So you get this, right?
Yes, Pastor.
Yeah, Romans 8. So when Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost, he's talking about water baptism. Romans 8, verse 5. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Are you sure?
Yes, Pastor.
Romans 8, verse 5. So let's look at this together. Please, I just want you to really get yourself and follow me, okay?
Yes.
It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of I'll read again, please. I need to pay attention. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of two sets of people there. They that are after the flesh and they that are after the Spirit. Right?
Yes, Pastor.
And he describes them. He says, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. The word mind there means exercise, desire. They train their desires to be after the things of the flesh. Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
Look at the description. For they that are after the flesh, it's like someone who is chasing after something. Do you understand? So anyway, it is that thing he's looking out for. All right?
Yes,
so those that are after the flesh, wherever they are always after the flesh. Do you understand?
Yes.
So they mind the things. That's what's in their mind. That's why he's saying this is just common English. What's in their mind is always the things of the flesh. But he says, they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Meaning wherever they are, they're always looking out for the things of the Spirit. So they see someone and the first they're thinking about is he born again? Are you seeing that? That's what their mind is full of. That's what they're after. When they meet you, they're after the salvation of your soul. Not the money you give to them. Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
So there are those that are after the flesh. There are those that are after the Spirit. Verse 6. It says, for to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is
peace.
So look at the results. It says, there are those that are after the flesh. They mind the things of the flesh. They will die. They experience death. So this is not a joke. It matters. It matters. What gets your attention? It matters what you're interested in life. It matters. He says, those that are after the flesh. Now, these those that are after the flesh, those that are after the Spirit. It's not talking about unbelievers and believers, oh. These can be Christians. The difference between unbelievers and believers will come later. But here, he's talking about believers. There are Christians that can be after the flesh, meaning that they've forgotten they are Christians, only in church. Once they go out, they play like every other person. They're interested in what every person is interested in. They know all the things they should not know. And he's saying, this is not a joke. If you're carnally minded, you will experience death. But there are those other Christians that are after the things of the Spirit. And that's why we say you are not your emotions. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Jesus said, in your patience, possess you your souls. Meaning that your soul is your possession. You are not your soul. Are you in this place?
Yes,
you are not your feelings. So someone says, this is how I feel. You can change. At times, it could be some songs. I remember when I was just getting serious with God. I think I was still in secondary, on that level. And I used to really like music. Not gospel, though. The other type. All right? Really, really like music. And when I got born again, I didn't need anybody to tell me that all things are passed away. I didn't need that. There are people that, oh my goodness. They want you to prove. You're just wasting time. I didn't need that. I knew that now that I'm walking with God, I have to follow God. Do you understand?
Yes,
I have to drop those sins. Here was the problem. The problem was, I already knew those songs and the beats. So, I could just be my own and the song starts playing. And before I know what's happening, maybe not vocally, but in my mind, I'm there already. You know what I did? Because I was serious, I got a Christian song in my heart. So anytime by mistake, I caught myself thinking about that song, I immediately changed it with a Christian song. Until it became unconscious. Why? Because I am not my emotions. I can change what I like. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
I can change it. I can change what I crave. God doesn't want you to crave anything above his word. Not football, not food. Not music. People say music is my life. Music can never be your life. Christ is your life. Are you in this place?
Yes,
it is humanism. When you exalt useless things, things that are meant for your entertainment, you exalt them to the position of your life. How can music be your life? So say, I just like playing piano. Piano is my life. What? Then if I break the piano, you're there. Those things cannot be your life. It, like I said, it's humanism. It sounds like you really like it. You can say, I enjoy playing the piano. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
But you're not hooked to it. It's not a drug. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So now he tells you as a Christian, if you're carnally minded, you would experience death. What is your response when you hear bad news? If you're carnally minded, that bad news will affect you. That's what he's saying. So there's no option. He's not saying manage yourself at times, be after the spirit. But at times, you can be after the flesh. No, there's no option. He says to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Don't you want peace? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. This is so important. It means after today's service, you should train yourself. Some things should not get your attention. Why? Look at the end result. So this is death. So you train yourself. Say, I'm spiritually minded. You can train yourself to be spiritually minded. You can love to pray. Are you in this place? Just like you love pizza. You can love to pray. You can love to listen to messages. Just like you love listening to songs. There's somebody that wakes up in the morning, or God born again, and all of a sudden, you don't, only Christian stuff. You train yourself. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
You train yourself. Just to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Life in your body. Are you seeing that?
Yes, Pastor.
It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now, look at this. He's explaining why anybody who is carnally minded will experience death. He says it's because the carnal mind is enmity against God. That means an enemy of God. You know what that means? It means that, let me just leave this. That's why we say agree with the word. Submit to the word. Don't argue with God's word. Because here he's saying that anybody who sets themselves against God's word would experience death. So if the word of God has said this is how you should behave, you agree with it. You don't agree. You don't say, but, how about, maybe that person, leave them alone. He says, because the carnal mind is what? Enmity against God, argues with God. Not subject to the law of God. And that person who is not subject would experience. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right, verse 8. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Okay. It says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay, so let's, before we get here, I'm telling you, he said there are two types of people, two sets. Those that are after the flesh, those that are after the spirit. Right? Think about it. Have you ever taught those that walk with you the salvation of their soul? Does that concern you? Or you're only after the things you can get from them? You can change your desires. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
You can change your desires. What if you felt a pain in your body? What is your response? Are you always after the latest medicine? There's nothing wrong with medicine. But God wants you to put his word to work. Because how about if you're diagnosed with the issue where there's no medicine? Would you now condemn yourself to death? Of course not. But he's saying if your mindset, anytime anything happens, it's not God first. It is your connection. It is who do you know. It is this, it is that. But not God first. Sooner or later, you'd experience death. That thing you're running away from because of your connection, it will meet you in front. It says if you're spiritually minded, it is life and peace. All right. Now for this one, it says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. There's a difference here. The first one is of those that are after the things of the flesh. Right? They are after the things of the flesh. But these are in the flesh. It's not semantics. All right? There's a difference. And I'll show you in verse 9. Go to verse 9. It says, they that are in the flesh cannot speak. Those people that are always trying to reason everything, they can't please God. God can't walk with them because they are smarter than him. They are smarter than him. Moses is literally of Israel from the Egyptians. They get to the Red Sea. Moses says, stand and see the salvation of the Lord. God tells him, what's wrong with you? Why did you stop? Then God says, all right, stretch out your hand and divide the sea. Does that make any sense? Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Does that make any sense? Stretch your hand and divide the sea. How does that happen? So you just stretch hand. I mean, if he had said, be packing the sea, that would have made sense. Everybody just be packing. He says, stretch forth. Imagine Moses that said, Lord, how would we do it? No, we can't just stretch forth. No, you submit to God. It might not sound reasonable. But who gave you reason? Is it not him? You submit to him. It might not sound smart. For example, he says, be tender-hearted, forgiving one another just as Christ forgave you. Have you ever thought of that before? I think in our Faith Booster series, we talked about that. It says, just as Christ forgave you. You know what that means? Has anybody come to tell you that? Isn't it? Jesus will just complain to me how that he forgave you the other time and you have done it again. Has that happened before? When he forgives you, it is absolute. He doesn't bring it back again. He says, that's how you should forgive others. So it might pain you. You might feel like telling your brother what that man did to you. You might feel like telling the other person what that person did to you. But if you're walking, if you're after the things of the Spirit, you submit yourself. At times you find yourself about to say, I just want to tell you, leave it. Then you're pleasing God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay, verse 9. It says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of it. So, here he's talking about believers and unbelievers. The person who is born, if any man be in Christ, he's a new. So, the Christian is in Christ. Christ is a spirit. So, the Christian is in the spirit. The unbeliever is in the world. Right? Okay. So, how come you have someone who is in the spirit looking for the things after the flesh? It's common sense. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
You have that guy who is brought up in a good home. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
His parents give him the best education. Right? Anything he wants, they can provide. They might not be super wealthy, but he's comfortable. All right? They provided everything for him. He's from a good home, good name. Yet, he likes gangster life. Yet, he likes ghetto life. After school, where is he? In the ghetto. After school, where is he? He's buying some pills. But he has everything he needs at home. But he's after the things of the jungle. Are you in this place? He's longing for the wrong things. Meanwhile, where he is, he has everything he needs. What will happen? Very soon, they arrest him. Just like I said, the carnal mind, the one who is after it, he will die. Very soon. You have all these funny guys who sing songs. The guy grew up in a very comfortable home. Yes, he's saying, I remember when I was in the ghetto. I remember when my parents did not have anything. How I struggled. You know, some people like rag to riches story. Do you understand? They want to experience it. I remember there was a time I didn't have anything. So reminds him, bros. All right, so there are those that are in the spirit. Sorry. Christians, but they can be after the things of the flesh. You're a Christian. You're in Christ, the safest place in the world. Yet you're concerned you might catch a disease. You're going to investigate what can you do to prevent yourself from getting that disease. You're doing the one nobody asked you to do. Are you in this place? Because in Christ is the safest place ever. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So there are those that are in the flesh, they're unbelievers, those ones, they have no spiritual bearing. There are those that are in Christ, that is you, that is me. Now there are those that are in Christ that might be minding the things of the flesh. For example, you have a Christian who has no spiritual pulse. What I mean is, all they're thinking about is their corporate life, their career advancement, their career path. That's all they think about. If they're going to church, it is who can they network in their career path. Haven't you seen people like that?
Yes.
That's what they're interested in. Healing, soul winning, doesn't really concern them. It's just them and their God. But their career path. Are you seeing that? So when they meet someone, they don't think about the person's soul. They don't think about what God... God has never talked to them. And they don't care. Why? Because they have different goals and ambitions. That part might seem right to them. You see all the money they are gathering. One day, they might have to spend it on tablets, on medicine, because spiritually, they are dead. But not you.
Not me.
All right. So it says, verse 10. Are you in this place?
Yes.
Are you following me?
Yes.
All right. Verse 10. So as you're reading this now, what should be your response? I'm going to train myself to be interested in spiritual things. You train, you exercise yourself. You go on social media, go to a Bible page, go to a Christian page. Leave comedy alone. It's all fake besides. Do you know it's all fake?
Yes.
All right. Okay? Instead of listening to radio with gossip, listen to a message. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
No, because it's amazing what these things can do. Most times, most radio shows are just two people arguing about something. Then they ask audience to join them in the argument. So you're on your own. Now you're arguing about something that you'll not be arguing about. It's someone that you don't know told you. I mean, what a life. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So you train yourself. You say, no, this is not the kind of life I want to live. I'm going to be interested in spiritual things. Right? Yeah. Verse 10. It says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of what?
Righteousness.
Verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also what? Quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, I like this. This is really nice. I have a question. Is the Holy Ghost inside of you?
Yes.
You mean the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of
yes.
you? You need to think about this. How long did Jesus die for?
3 days.
So, if you see someone who is dead for 3 days, their body is still fresh.
No.
Is that what happens?
No.
After 3 days, their body is still fresh. One day, they started swelling up. Right?
Yes.
Not just the outward, inside. They are cold, they are ugly, they are terrible looking. Second day, third day, they are rotting. But the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, when Jesus resurrected, he was brand new. The swelling, not there. The rotting, not there.
The spoilage, not there. His heart stopped beating, functioning now. The brain stopped working, functioning now. Oh my God. Remember on the cross, for him to have died, the spirit left him. That's why he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? He left him. Right? And then they killed him. But this is the spirit of life. And so when he met him again, he brought him back to life. Now, you think that God has reserved his spirit. Anytime you die, he will send him to you. Well, he did not reserve him like that. He sent him to you before. So if there's any ailment that comes, that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead and vitalized him will also vitalize your mortal body. That's what he's saying here. There's someone here, you have a wound. And it's been there for a while, but that's closed now.
Yeah.
You check it after service, it's gone. That same spirit that raised a man from the dead is inside of you. How can you die? How? No, you think about it. Think about it. It's just common sense. You know, someone can say, you know, Christians are against science. No, this one is maths. Are you in this place? No, it's maths. If the spirit that raised... Help me hold this. If I had a tablet, and I said this tablet is a special tablet, anybody that dies, if I force it into their mouth, they'll get up. All right?
Yes, Pastor.
What would you say? Please hold one for me. All right? But if you can take that tablet, it means you'll never die. That's what it means. I remember something Chipike said last week. All right? Let me just expatiate. I said, Christians don't die, they sleep. All right?
Yes, Pastor.
So what's the difference? It means that a Christian will go, ah, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Oh, no. That is not how God planned. That is not how God planned for a Christian to leave this world. If you want to live, except for persecution, if you want to leave, you say it's time to go. You go and lie down. You sleep. You wake up with Jesus. Do you understand?
Yes.
Not, honestly, I don't want to die. So you die by sickness. I really don't want to die by sickness. No. Are you in this place?
Yes.
Why? Because if that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then what sickness can kill you? Sickness kills. The spirit in you gives life. So there's a neutralizing force. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
That means you reject ulcer, reject kidney stones, reject cancer. Because the spirit is inside of you. Look at it. It says he will quicken your mortal body. He will vitalize it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Say, the Holy Ghost is inside of me.
Right now.
If there's blockage in your ear, that same spirit will quicken that ear. That's his job. Look at it. It's there. It's not me saying something. It's there. He is there to quicken your mortal body. But you have a work to do. Verse 12.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Have you been following me so far?
Yes, Pastor.
This is where I'm going to all this message. This is the fulcrum. It says, Therefore, brethren. Therefore means he's coming from somewhere. Please, just pay attention to this, please. He had told us that the spirit, that same spirit that raised you from the dead is inside of you. So inside of you is a life-giving spirit. Inside of you is the resurrection. Are you in this place? If something died inside of you, he can bring it back up. Do you understand? If one kidney fails, he can give it life. Do you understand? Now that he has said all of that, he says, because of that knowledge, he says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors. Not to the flesh. To live after the flesh. He said, because you know there's a spirit that's inside of you that can quicken your mother bodies, you are under no obligation to live according to how you feel. You have ISV. Oh. Well, let me read from ISV. Pay attention to this. I should have told you earlier. Romans 8, verse 12. ISV. Please pay attention.
You don't have an easier version.
All right. It says, consequently, brothers, pay attention. We are not, with respect to human nature, that is, under an obligation to live according to the human nature. He said, if the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead inside of you, you are under no obligation to live according to your human nature. Meaning that you should not live your life based on how you feel. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay, this is HC. Okay, this is good. This is also good. Look at it. Holman's Christian Standard Bible. He says, so then, brothers, we are not obligated to the flesh, live according to the flesh. You can have people who say, is it not my human nature? If I'm scared, should I not say I'm scared? All right? If I feel pain, should I not talk? If I'm sick, I will say I'm sick because I'm sick. But here he's telling you that if you really believe that the Holy Ghost is inside of you, that same Holy Ghost that can quicken your mortal bodies, then you are under no obligation to live your life based on how you feel, based on what you see. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
It says you are under no obligation to live your life based on what you hear. Even if they say everybody that go to Ikeja right now will die and you are in Ikeja, you are under no obligation to die. Are you in this place?
Yes,
and if you refuse to die, nobody will kill you. That's what I'm trying to say. Even God will not be obsessed with you. So leave people and their rules. He says you are under no obligation to live according to such rules. None. I need this to enter in. No obligation. Someone says, in this life, you must sin now. Must you not sin? You are under no obligation to do the wrong thing. No obligation. You go to the doctor, you had a fall. They say your hip bone has shifted like this. They say you might not be able to walk. You are under no obligation to live your life based on that information. No, because people act as though they are under obligation. The doctor said, I should not move it like this. If I move it, it will bend. Hey, don't move it like this. Hey, don't move it like this. He says, you are not under no obligation. You can rebel.
Yes.
You should rebel. Else, the day someone comes and says, you are dying in 3 days. You will die in 3 days. Listen, as a Christian, you have to learn to refuse. Refuse things that are against the word of God. Refuse them for your life. Refuse them. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. No, imagine if you're on your own right now and they say that if you come, someone brings a special brush to your office. You say, this is a cancer detecting brush. A cancer detecting brush. Right? So you detect it just on time. You bring it. They say, okay, if you comb your hair now, if half your hair falls, it means there's cancer there. All right? Of course, people will queue. Hey, let me just know. All right. So if they say it's by force, because I don't think that kind of thing, you wouldn't be interested in it. All right? But if they say it's by force, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. There are two levels. If they say it's by force, you must test because they are so concerned about you. The first level is you comb and nothing happens. And you're fine. And that's you. Okay. The second level is you might come and it will fall. But you are under no obligation to start planning your life like someone who has that cancer. Because the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of you. And it will vitalize your head. Do you understand? You are under no obligation. Leave the test. They can test. Say you. You can't believe you are alive. Say yes. I am alive by the Spirit. You see how God wants you to live your life. Not that someone somewhere. I told you guys one service. I said, God is the one that put you here. And he's the one that knows how long he wants you to stay. Without consulting him, because you saw a result, you come and announce people you're about to die. Who put you here? Did you put yourself? No. So you don't just announce that you are going. the person that put you here has not told you? You wait. Then maybe like Moses, you say, go and die. Do you understand? Only God matters. He says you are under no obligation to live according to human beings and what they say. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
No obligation. Did you get that?
Yes, Pastor.
Do you know this is not a suggestion? He says, for if you live according to the flesh, you are going to die. It's not a suggestion. There are no options. There are no options. So that person that combed the hair, listen, I said there are no options. If you comb the hair and half of it fell off, all right? Refuse to live your life based on that half that fell off. Because if you do, for sure you will die. For sure. Most times people that come and announce that they have killer disease, they have three, they usually die. Because they've accepted it. If you live according to the flesh, if you live your life based on what you see, how you feel, what you're hearing, he says, for sure you will die. For sure. If God tells you you are going to die, take it serious. If Satan came and told you you are going to die, mosquito sound. Do you understand? It doesn't mean anything. If the doctor told you you are going to die, you say, doctor, thank you. But no. If God tells you you are going to die, you are going to die. All right? Who can battle with the Lord? Nobody. So now, in order for you not to die, he's telling you how you should live your life. He says, don't live your life according to the flesh. Don't rebel, refuse, reject. So people can make fun of it, say Christians are always rejected. Leave them. You reject. Refuse. Be stubborn. Stubbornly insist on the word of God. Stubbornly insist on the word of God. Someone says, if you are a Shekiri, you will not make it in Lagos State. Stubbornly insist on the word of God. Who brought that rule? You are under no obligation to live your life according to that rule. Are you in this place? Because people have said different rules. Different rules. This is how you must be if you want to succeed in Lagos. What do you mean this is how I must be? Who brought that rule? You are only obligated to live your life based on the word of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And he said, goodness. Anywhere you go, what should be your experience? Goodness. Irrespective of your tribe, irrespective of the color of your skin, irrespective of your height, irrespective of what you speak, goodness and mercy. That's the only obligation, not to the flesh. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You see something in your skin, you start thinking, hey, this growth, what could this be? Let me tell you a story. That was last week during our workers fest. I went to the car to get something ready in the stadium, and I checked my hand. Something really irritating to me. Like, you know when you have this swelling, 1, 2, 3, you understand? Different patches on my hand. So that film trick. I wasn't there before. Different color. Do you understand? Just 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. So I was irritated by it. These are things that, do you understand? I've never seen that before. Just like something beat me or I was having a reaction or something, but really terrible. So I looked at it and my first response would have been, what is this nonsense now? Ew. Right? And to press it, because it looks like a ball. I thought, by the time we're done, it was clear. It was gone. Are you in this place?
Yes,
it was gone. Why? I ignored it. It's one of those things. Okay? That should be a response. Just leave it alone. Don't make it more serious than it is. Now imagine I come and say, Shola, oh, Shola. Shola, see, boy. Then I Google. Cancer of the hand. After I have Googled, are you in this place? And I see everything. I say, I will put my faith to work. Which faith? I just complicated matters. Leave it alone. Do you understand? It sort itself. Under no obligation to live your life according to what you see, according to how you feel. Are you in this place? Leave your lineage alone. You can say, my auntie, before she went for operation, said she was feeling pain in her waist. My uncle went for operation, said he was feeling pain in her waist. Now I'm feeling pain in my waist. What does that mean? It means you're going for operation. No! No! It doesn't matter the pain you feel, you walk straight. Do you understand? Praise the Lord. Listen, there are two sets. I've ended, all right? There are two sets. There are those that are healed and hearty in the morning. They feel great. They are going to work. Okay, there are three sets. There's the second part that they wake up in the morning and they are back. Hey! They lie down. Say, hey, now I'm feeling sick. They send a message. I can't come to work today. What happened? I'm feeling sick. All right? Or they say I'm sick. All right. There's the third set. You wake up, you feel that pain, healed in Jesus' name. So where are you going to? You're going to have your bath. Why? Because the pain is not bigger than you. Are you in this place? You might still feel it, but you are greater than it. You are under no obligation to live according to that pain. Do you understand? You wear your shoe. So why are you doing slow? You say, I'm just taking my time. You keep going. Say, are you okay? I am perfect in Christ Jesus. You know what you're doing? That pain will never come again. Next time the pain tries to come, say, that one, no. That one is very stubborn. He says, for if you live according to the flesh, you are going to die. I'll end with this. He says, but if by the Spirit you put to death, it's your job. It is you that will put it to death, not God. The Spirit is inside of you already, but you have a job to do. Are you in this place? It is you that will channel the energy, that will channel the power. Do you understand?
Yes.
So someone can have the Holy Ghost inside of him, full Holy Ghost, and still die. Because he doesn't know this. He says, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, he says you will live.
Yes.
Meaning, it doesn't matter how your body feels. You can kill that feeling and live. That's what he's saying here. That's what he's saying here. Look, the word deeds there is not D-I-D-S. Deeds. You know what deed is? Title deed. When you go and buy land, they give you what? The deed. Do you understand? The contract. He's telling you here that in life, your body can make transactions without telling you. And it's true. Have you heard of contagious illnesses before? You're in the bus sitting down. Somebody looked at you. The eye is red. You look away.
God save us.
You go back home, your eye is red. Just one look. You know what I'm talking about, right? Apollo, right? Your brother comes in, the eye is red. So, oh, no. Of course, it's not looking that causes it. It's touching and transaction. Do you understand? But he's saying that your body can make such transactions without your knowledge. All right? So people that are always trying to do health. Listen, if you use public transport, you need to know the word of God. It's true. Because someone can have a killer disease and they've not detected it yet. And it can move through contact.
Yes.
So some people like front seats. And that's where the person went to sit. Say, no, I want that front seat. You sit down. What? Your body has made a transaction without telling you. Are you in this place?
Yes.
But if you wake up one morning and you see the eye raised, say, the name of Jesus healed. He says, by the Spirit, you put to death the transactions of the body. So by the power of the Holy Ghost inside of you, you speak words to kill that pain. Do you understand? You put it to death. He says you will live. You see, now you're spiritually minded. You don't live in your life based on how you feel. You might feel something, but with the word of God, you kill it. Are you in this place? You're on your own. There's a suicidal thought. With the word of God, you kill it. You don't accept it. Say, I don't know every day now. I wake up now. I feel suicidal. So something is telling me, go and jump. Go and jump. Go and jump. Do you know it happens?
Yes.
Oh, it happens. I've been in meetings where the minister said, there's someone here. Something is telling you, go and die, go and die. Come on. I've seen people run out. It's true. Or there's something, an evil spirit following you. You will soon die now. Don't cross the road. Don't cross the road. You'll soon die. It can happen. You don't accept it. I say, hey, maybe God is talking to you. God is not talking to you. He says, by the Spirit, you tell that demon. I'll end with this story. I've ended. When I was 100 level, I was attacked by the spirit of fear. That's why I know this thing is true. All right? The spirit of fear. It's not, I'm afraid. I'm afraid it's really. I'm afraid I'll be late. Useless fear. No, this was among the spirit of fear. That I was in the church with, you know, a family friend. Sitting in the church, I was so afraid I was going to die. Like something from somewhere would come inside the church and hit me. I looked out, so I don't forget that day. I looked out because I was at the balcony and I saw people crossing the road. I said, how can they be crossing the road and they're not afraid? Because I felt if I crossed the road, something would hit me. This happened to me, not someone else. When I was in 400 level, one other lady came and told me that she can't even have a bath, that she's afraid she'll die. I knew it was the same spirit. So there are spirits like that that go around terrorizing people. And you know what? They are the weakest spirit there is. It says, by the Spirit, the greater one inside of you. It says, put to death. You know what you do for that one? Out. So it says, is it just like that? Yes. It's too simple. That's why you aren't doing it and it looks more powerful and complicated than it is. It says, by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body. So maybe you wake up in the morning and your leg has frozen, healed in Jesus' name. It might not lose immediately, but move. Do you understand? Move. It says, don't live according to it. Move. Very soon, it will correspond. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But if you're a Christian, you should be a rebel. Don't just accept anything the world throws to you. Don't. You wake up in the morning, you can't. Moving is painful. So you now, before you know what's happening, you won't be able to move anymore. Fight it. In the name of Jesus, I stand straight and keep moving. He says, if you don't do that, for sure, you will die. But not you. So if they're complaining about the economy, keep quiet. If you don't have anything positive in the word of God to say, keep quiet. Are you in this place? Until you have a response that is fueled by the Spirit of God. So someone says, the naira to dollar is failing. Nigerian economy is a mess. And you say it's true. Nigerian economy is a mess. Guess what? Your finances become a mess. No. It says by the Spirit. Even if it's a mess everywhere, that spirit of life is domiciled inside of you. And everything that concerns you receives life. That's what he's saying here. He says, brothers, we are not obligated to the flesh. That's what I want you to see. You are not obligated to the flesh. The people that have maybe terrible genotype and they can't plan their future anymore. No, you're not obligated to that genotype. Are you in this place? No. The people that can't eat anymore because of a problem. No, you're not obligated to live your life according to that problem. The word of God wants you to kill it. It says, by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the body and you will what? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You might have headaches that come and go. And when they come, you can't function anymore. This message is for you. God is asking, when will you finally deal with that problem? He says you are the one to put it to death, not God. So you can be saying, God, when will you do something? No, the question is to you. Next time you feel that pain, put your hand on your head. In the name of Jesus, perfect. Perfect. Everything is functioning perfectly. Are you in this place? That's what you do. That's what you do. At times you're walking and you feel like your leg just slipped. Don't accept it as normal. In the name of Jesus, fixed. And you keep moving. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. So I walk in perfection. I walk in health. So I live according to the word of God. I stand on the word of God. I refuse any experience that is against the word of God. I refuse any thoughts that is against the word of God. I refuse any information, any news, any results that is against the word of God. My life is for the glory of God. My life shows the perfections of God's glory, the excellencies of God, the beauties of God, the power of God is manifest through my life.